Hi everyone, and welcome to the Curve Mindset Podcast with McGinley Coaching. I'm your founder and host, Lonnie McGinley. Today we're joined by Rodolph Willem. How are you, Rodolph?
I'm pretty good. It's good to have you with the time difference, so pretty good. Thank you for the invitation.
Oh, no worries at all. Can you just tell the listeners about a background of yourself and the kind of coaching journey you're on so far?
Yeah, so I play my whole life, and I started coaching 2-3 years ago with the COVID, and now I'm doing a certification in Canada, and in the same time with the Federation of Ireland, I'm doing the UFRC and some modules with some clubs in South America.
And coaching, you said during kind of COVID, a lot of people started the kind of coaching journey because there was a lot of material out there, a lot of theory. Is that something that we'll talk about kind of analysis later on, but do you think it's good to have that theory first so you can start to just build your philosophy, your methodology, and then therefore you can start to go, I like this, I'm not sure about that, but I can go and network with the right, different people? Is that something that you tried to do during the kind of COVID, so therefore you had an idea of what kind of coach you wanted to be?
To be honest, at the beginning, I was maybe most of the coaches, checking all the videos from these famous coaches, I will do the same, I will do that, or I do this. And after a few sessions, I'm like, just grab it, just be my own. Of course, I'm taking, from here, from there. But otherwise, I was like, I will have my own style and just make sure that they understand what I want, the basic, because here there is a lot to do. It's not a country of football, of soccer, like they mentioned. So after a few sessions, I was like, let's just go back to the basic and be just be myself.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, because that's something we all, when in our coaching journey, we all want to replicate or copy different coaching styles, and it's great. But it was a really good quote about, Jürgen Klopp, and he said about the, you can copy things, but you're never going to be authentic because the person's going to be 3-4 steps ahead of you. But being an individual and learning that you need to maybe learn how to play the long ball game, how to pass the ball, how to dribble, how to, do these things. That obviously you're kind of early in your coaching journey, but the biggest thing I've learned is networking, but also being part of working with younger children and older children and adults is something that's always a good thing, because you learn how to manage different personalities. In your job in the moment, in Canada, you're working in the youth development. What's been a highlight so far of your coaching journey?
It's funny, I will take back something you said about just the basic, controlling and everything. Because at the beginning, I was like, let's do some passing drill. This look interesting, the third man, find the third man and everything. And after a few sessions, I was like, wait, let's just go back to the basic, a good pass with the inside of the foot, a good chest control, a good header. That's really important at the beginning, So I noticed it really, really easily. And at the beginning, that it was important that they know this type of just basic before going to some fancy stuff. And it's not just the 12, 13 years old, even some 15, 16, 17 years old here, they still don't know how to do a good header, a good chest control. So I just came to the basic, and that's where I am currently before going to some crazy tactic, and playing from the back with some dropping and everything. I'm just guys, start with the basic, and after we see something else. And to come back to something you said too, at the beginning I was like, just I will register to this newsletter. Oh, this newsletter looks fine. Oh, this PDF, all this. And at the end I had so many information that I didn't know what to do. I just registered to every football tactic. Oh, look at the best 50 rondos from Guardiola, from Cup, Jurgen Klopp and everything. And at the end I was like, I will just stay focused on one. So at this moment, I'm reading The Inverted Pyramid.
Yeah.
That I love it, that I really recommend to everybody, because it's the basic for me and it's really well explained. So I'm just focused on this, and the rest, it's just sometimes I'm taking some information on Twitter, re-listening to some podcasts like yours and others, and that's it.
Yeah.
Because there is too much information currently with the social media.
Yeah, because I'm interested, because obviously I've read The Inverted Pyramid. I've got a lot of reading. I do a lot of knowledge, and obviously you're talking, you know, the Austrians in the 30s, the Hungarians in the 50s, the Dutch in the 70s, and then going using Cruyff and Pep through the kind of the 2000s and how tactics have changed. But I've learned that sometimes too much information can be a hindrance, but it's also can be a help too, because you're thinking, do I, as a coach, you know, with a lot of years experience, and I've kind of learned that sometimes you need to adapt to playing a different style of play, but keeping yourself focused and up to date with different trends is a big thing, you know. And I've seen you always talk about basics, but sometimes the basics is pushing the player. Sometimes it's a pushing yourself, you know, and you might be uncomfortable in a situation where you might not be have a knowledge of nutrition or you know, the kind of physical side, but you want to learn about it. See the in your kind of coaching so far, has there been some times where you've kind of struggled a little bit to maybe implement your learning, so therefore you have to reach out to different people to maybe get that extra information or read? Because we mentioned sometimes there is too much information, but sometimes it's actually good having a variety of different readings and research. Is that something that you've had to deal with in the last couple of years?
I mean, it's depending of, I will say something that is here in Canada. Maybe it's not the same situation in UK, but here, you know, we want to do a lot of tactic, a lot of work on the field. But for example, during the winter here, we don't have space. You know, I'm having a group of 18 players, and I'm playing on eight of a field. It's like a seven versus seven divided by two, 18 players. And sometimes at the beginning, I was like, oh, let's do this tactic. This is good, like spread on the wings. And I came to the session and was like, how can I spread on the wings with like a quarter of a field, you know? So first, you have to adapt to the field. Secondly, you have to adapt to the group age. That's here. It's not like in UK, you know, they are like, oh, I just watch Brentford against Liverpool, whatever. Here, it's about, of course, learning on the field, but outside, I'm always asking them, okay, outside of the field this weekend, if you need, I can send you some links so you can watch some games, you know, in Premier League, in Europe. It's not just about, like, on the field, the foot IQ or the foot culture here is still missing. So you have to do a lot of work on the field and off the field. So, of course, sometimes I was a little bit lost because I was like, guys, how can I adapt like a tactic of spreading on the wings, for example, or playing or working on the tactic when I have like a small field, you know? So, of course, I was struggling. It's a lot of, you have to be adaptable and find new ways of working, because honestly, when you're alone with 18 players that they're like screaming all over the place because, you know, it's the night for them, they have energy still. So, of course, I was struggling. I asked some advice through, of course, Twitter with some other coaches from this type of group age, giving them like some of my experience. They gave me their feedback. And it's just being a sponge. You just have to learn from the others and not be like, no, I know what I'm doing. No, I don't know anything. You know, I'm just every time saying I don't know anything. So I'm just like trying to take experiences and feedback from the other coaches from all over the place, not just Canada, for sure.
Yeah, because talk about kind of languages, you know, and obviously having kind of speaking French, English, and a little bit of Spanish. You know, is that how difficult is that to maybe translate quickly? You know, the what they're saying, what you think, and then you need to translate it into either English, Spanish, or French. But the you've got, that's the kind of first question. And the second question is, sometimes we have different sayings, you know, in football. So you have to learn that there's, I think it's idioms, you call them. They're kind of different parts of the language, you know, like to pass the ball, but with intensity. But there's a different kind of, to say, you know, pasar, to pass, you know, in Spanish, but then that might be a different way to say it in, you know, English to French. Is it good, obviously, having three or four languages, you know, learned, but also good to have that kind of football brain too, of I have to think quickly and also be very effective with my communication?
to be honest, yeah. So I had different groups in the past. You know, I had a group when I had the 2006 boys. Some of them, they were speaking Spanish because they were from Central America or South America. Some of them were from Quebec, so they spoke French. And the other from England, from the English side of Canada. So it was good because I could say it sometimes in French or in Spanish. And I was like, you know what, in English, I don't think it's the same. So I asked some feedback from the French speaker here in Quebec. So they translated me in English. But at the beginning, I was just throwing words that I just translated in French to English. And it didn't make sense. I saw it because when I told them, for example, check in, check out, in French, it's literally call in, call out. And I was saying this and they didn't understand. And the first session, I was like, I don't understand. They don't understand. I'm just translating and they should know it. And after one, two sessions, I was like, wait, you know what? I will ask them the feedback. And I was like, guys, when I ask you call in, call out, do you understand? And they were like, no, coach, we don't know what is it. And I was like, okay, let me talk to the French speakers or check some on the internet. And they told me, no, it's check in, check out. And I was like, okay, now I understand. So at the beginning, I was like, giving, you know, spreading some stuff. And the people, they were like, who's this crazy French guy that is like giving us some new names that we never understood or never knew before, you know? So it was a lot. And in the same time, processing the information, like you mentioned, I think in French. Wait, this guy speaks Spanish, so better to tell him in Spanish so he understand better. Oh, wait, this one is an English speaker. So it's a lot of process, but I like it because, you know, you have to be outside. You have to go outside of your comfort zone. So it's a lot of information that I have to process, to translate, to make sure that they understand. Because sometimes, even if the translation is right, maybe they never hear this, never heard this this expression. So I have to make sure that if they don't know, I explain it on the field, you know. And in the same time, on the side, I'm watching some football podcast on YouTube, like Bunch of Amateurs. I love it. I'm watching some Amazon Prime the TV show. So just to understand and to hear some vocabulary that is like really like matching the football world, you know.
Yeah.
Because for me, it's still complicated sometimes to go on one side and after I'm like, oh no, wait, it's not this. I have to go on the other side and make sure they understand what I'm saying.
Yeah. Because I'm pretty much fluent in Spanish. My French is okay, my Portuguese is okay, German's okay, so I can understand a little bit. But I did a podcast with the guys at Football Lingo, and they said you could do 90%, you know, learning, but it's the 10% is actually the most important, you know, like to kick, to pass, to long pass, right, left, but it's slightly different. But obviously having a, you know, a foreign language is, I think it helps because you can network with more people and they help you with more information. So if you make a mistake on the pitch, they're more than likely to help you out with the language, because we've seen I know Gary Neville, and he spoke to on the Stephen Bartlett kind of Diary of a CEO when he's at Valencia. He tried to learn Spanish right away, and the guy, the team were like, no, you don't need to learn Spanish, just need to learn the keywords and do your Spanish. Integrate yourself in more. But see, if you try to do something at 100 miles an hour and you've got very little knowledge or no knowledge, then it's hard to transfer that. But having a background in foreign languages, you know, does help. But we talked about it there, you know, you have to think in Spanish, then you need to think, oh, that might be in French. But feedback, you mentioned the players are obviously your biggest critics, but they're also your best friends sometimes. When you're trying to explain things and a feedback to a person with a different who's a kind of foreign language, is that good to have that kind of, you don't need to work about football, it's actually using emotion, using different types of talking, you know, is it good to have that three or four languages so you can speak to them face to face so they understand that, rather than football sometimes, because feedback is the most important thing to improve ourselves and our players around us.
I think it's good, and you know, I will go a little bit further when you say to know another language. I think it's in the same time another culture.
Yeah.
Because for example, Spanish, I learned Spanish at school, of course, but I lost the Spanish at school. So after I met my wife, I was speaking with her in Spanish. after we were living in Colombia for 1 year in Medellin, and there I really saw the spirit of football, you know, like, so now when I have somebody from South America or even Central America, because football is a religion there, I'm talking, of course, with him in Spanish, but I'm talking with him more on the passion side, you know, because I know they are passionate. It's more about, like, it's not the same word that I will use and translate from the English to the Spanish or French to Spanish to him, because I know for him it's more about, like, the I would say the passion, you know, to give everything on the field. They know when you tell them this in Spanish, they know more than when you tell somebody here, an English speaker or French speaker, to, oh, go above and beyond, you know, try to give everything. They will take it, they will say, yes, coach, but I mean, the culture is not the same, you know, they will not go 200% like you can ask from somebody from Colombia or from Brazil or from another country that football is a religion. So talking about the language, I think it's more about the culture. It's when you know two or three languages or even more, hopefully in the future I can learn Portuguese maybe or German or another language. I think it's more about thinking and learning about the culture of this country that help you after when you translate this into his languages.
Yeah, it's culture and environment, you know, and a lot of used to be the kind of buzzwords philosophy, you know, and now it's kind of methodology and game model. But how would you describe your style of play? And also, we talk about kind of mentors, you know, like a lot of people look at Cruyff or Pep or even family members, or even, you know, like I've got my mentors, I've got people who are not in football, people are actually like sports performance coaches, and I like to pick their brains on different things to improve my leadership, my business style, my basically my presence. What's the kind of the first part, your kind of coaching style, and who's your mentors, and who do you kind of look up to in the kind of the football world, where you aspire to, you know, maybe meet one day or work with, or even, you know, just go and visit?
I was always having a focus with the South American, you know, football coaches, because for me, football, I know it's from England and all this, but the passion, the work they have, it's really something different in South America. I saw it, I told you, when I was in Colombia for 1 year. Mm. And for me, I have different one. Of course, Marcelo Bielsa is one of them, because the work, not only, you know, on the field, but what he's doing off the field. I wrote a book about him. It's crazy. And what he's doing currently with Uruguay, it's unbelievable. I have Fernando Diniz that I really like with Fluminense, and this new relationism that he's trying to implement with the national team and Fluminense. I love it. It's completely new for me. It's not something that, of course, I'm trying to do, because with 13 years old, it's like completely out of the scope. But I'm trying to take some ideas. I love Marcelo Gallardo, what he did with River Plate, because, you know, every year they took players to go to Europe, like Alvarez and the others, and every year he had the result that he wanted with his team. I have this type of coaches that I really like. Of course, Klopp for what he's showing on the off the field, the mentality, like the passion. I love it too. So I'm taking, like you said, like pieces from left, right, you know, this type of coaches, and I'm trying to mix it. But for me, the passion, it's the most important one. The players, I really try to show them the passion that I have for this sport, and off the field too. You know, I'm doing online session with them. I'm always texting them, hey, there is a game, you should watch it. I'm sending some Instagram tips for them. So it's really something that I'm trying to bring to the team on different aspects.
Yeah, because we talk about Bielsa, you know, and I've read a couple of his books, and I watched that. The best thing was on YouTube when he had that 50-minute presentation of all the different teams, and it was brilliant. But analysis, you know, you talk about it kind of when we talk about off air, you know, like the analysis is a big thing, you know, like I've seen on your YouTube channel. You kind of like to analyse the games through video, but also doing like data. Why do you kind of, why do the players enjoy analysis, and also what do you enjoy about it, and how do you try and implement it with the players you're working in with, and also even previous, because every year you're obviously going to learn new ideas and ways to develop, but analysis is a big thing of coaching, but sometimes it's good to have a coaching background, an analysis background, and also working together. Is that something you try to implement so you can be a little bit better, that 1% better every day?
The video analysis first, it's because, you know, you have to show them that you care about them. That's, I think, it's the most important word. It's about showing them that it's not just about being here on the field and be like, okay, let's play for 1 hour, 90 minutes, whatever, and that's it. That's all at the end of the 90 minutes, you know, three times a week, for example. It's to do the extra step, you know, the extra mile for them, showing them, okay, you know what, guys, let's take 1 hour this week or 30 minutes, because 12, 13 years old, especially after COVID, now, you know, with social media, everything has to come really fast.
Yeah.
You can't do an online session of 1 hour with 12, 13 years old. It's impossible. They will not, they will, of course, watch it, but they will maybe, maybe just take the information of 5 minutes from the 1 hour. So when I do an online session, I always try to be within 20, 30 minutes, because I know that otherwise it's not worth it. Because this new generation, it's like, you know, social media, everything comes in a snapshot.
Yeah.
So I'm trying 20, 30 minutes, coming to the point, you know, making sure that we took care of every position or everybody. I just don't want to be like, oh, today it's about like just the strikers. And the information has to be easy to read. I'm not going into some, you know, like some crazy idea or some, I would say, points that they are really, really, really tough to understand, especially for 12, 13 years old. And I'm always trying to add something about like a video of a professional game, because most of them, they are watching, you know, games in Europe about Real Madrid, Manchester United, the other club. So I'm always trying to link what I'm saying to what happened a few weeks ago or a few days ago in the professional world. So they're like, oh, okay, the French coach is talking about this, and this happened in a real game, you know. So it's not just about like, oh, this coach said this, but I never heard about it or I never saw it. I'm always trying to take a video of a football game that happened and making sure that it's in relation of what I'm talking to them. So, you know, there is this relation about like, oh, I watched this game, oh yeah, I saw it, I remember, you know. So it makes sense for them too. It's not just like a boring talk of 3 minutes presenting some slide on a PowerPoint.
Oh yeah, I agree, because I think I spoke to another coach in the podcast this morning about like how important time is, you know, like how we can be, how do I put, the best thing is sometimes it's 10 minutes, sometimes it's 20, but it should never be more than 30, because the
brain... I always say less is more.
Yeah, talk less, do more. And this is why I was my best advice I've ever given as a coach is you get 2 ears and one mouth. Learn how to read the room, but also learn when to talk, when not to talk, when to listen, when not to listen. And it's all about developing that kind of mindset of like... It comes with experience, but also sometimes you need a little bit of drive to go, do you know what, I'm going to challenge this. But the one thing is, I've always, someone said to me about challenging, you need to have the information ready. Because someone, if you want to challenge someone, you need to have the information, but also you need to have the drive, the knowledge. And sometimes you're going to be, and football is full of many, many subjective opinions, you know, but the most important thing is if you have a knowledge and you've experienced and you've got a way of playing and it's successful, and sometimes you just have to tweak it to make it better. But I've not been to Canada, but I've been to the US, and one of my friends works in Canada, and he says it's one of the most, it's very diverse with a lot of things, but the most important thing is there's a culture of togetherness, and I've seen obviously. Can you tell us about your club, what the kind of group you're working with, and the kind of philosophy of the club, and then from that, I know you kind of have your kind of own YouTube channel. Do you use that to kind of use your skills, but also to, you know, enhance the club's reputation and help you? So it's like a double winner, if that's okay.
Yeah, no, the YouTube channel, for example, I wish I could do a little bit more, because on the side, you know, I work in marketing, I have a baby, so it takes a lot of time, but on my YouTube channel, for example, I record every training session and every game since I started my coaching life here in Canada. So I have, I don't know, 150 videos. it takes a lot of time because when I go home, I have to record it, cut the different footage. When I go to training session, I don't have a car, so I am with a big tripod in the subway. It takes a lot of work. You know, it's a lot of sacrifice. The people in the subway, when they see me with like the big bag of 10 kilos of pinis, flat cones and everything. On the side, I have my GoPro camera. I have my tripod. During the summer, I bring in my drone. They're like, what the hell is this guy? What is doing here? And when I, the first time I came to the session, they were like, this guy is, what is doing? It's too professional for him. Like, come on, they're 12, 13 years old, you know? But I want to do this because I'm passionate. I know where I'm going. So I'm doing it for myself too. When I have time, sometimes I'm watching some session. I'm looking to the body language I have. I know I have to work a lot, for example, especially on the games. At the beginning, I was like, you know, like a, some coaches, I'm pretty sure, you know, go on the left, no, go on the right, come back. You know, I was like just guiding them. And after a few games, I was like, what I'm doing, just let them play. Just give them, of course, sometimes some advice. You know, if you see a gap, just making sure that he's like going tighter on the player. But I have a game yesterday night, and I know I have to work on my body language. Sometimes I'm a little bit frustrated, you know, when something happened, a bad pass or a goal against us. I have to work to keep it to myself, you know, internally and not showing to the player, especially at this age, you know, 12, 13 years old, they're like sponge, so they can take it personally, directly. So the YouTube channel that I have, for example, it helped me a lot on this. Like, you know, I'm watching the game, like, wait, what I'm doing here? Like, what I'm saying, you know, like, so it's a lot of work too that I'm trying to do on myself, and the YouTube channel, of course, helping me a lot on.
Yeah. And the club, you know, that you work for, you know, it's obviously a top club, but how do you see from the kind of top down to the bottom, there's obviously something that would be like a methodology or a philosophy, and you just have to tweak it to make it appropriate for the age group. Is that something that you try and talk to the kind of, in UK you get like a Karen director, you know, but just like different kind of types of coaching, you know, director of coaching. Do you speak to the people that maybe are a couple of years above you, you know, and maybe a couple of years below you, so you learn that maybe next season you might be working with the younger ones and you might be working with the older ones? And is it good to have that kind of guidance sometimes of learning that something, it's all about, you know, being part of a club, but also you need to do your job, but you need to learn that there is other opportunities to, you know, grow in the football world.
We have a WhatsApp group with all the coaches from the club, and we have a lot of coaches and players. I think we are around 1,000 players. It's one of the biggest club here in Toronto. What I'm trying to do is always, like I always mentioning, it's like sharing is caring.
Yeah.
So every time I have some ideas or I found a good podcast or whatever, I'm always sharing it. Like I did a specific like game project PowerPoint, you know, regarding the 3-4-3 tactic with my team.
Yeah.
I just share it, you know, every time I can share, I created a specific Discord group with Francophone coaches in France and all over the world that we have around 1,000 members. So sharing is the best, you know. If you did something, just share it with the others. Maybe they can add some stuff that you forgot. So it's the best. I'm always trying to have a discussion, even if we don't agree on something. I mean, you know what? Like I mentioned at the beginning, I don't know anything, so I'm just trying to learn from everybody, being a sponge. And if I can, via my YouTube channel or the Discord that I created a few years ago, if I can find new ideas or be like, oh, this, I forgot this, maybe can help me, you know, in the future, because I remember I had these situations. I'm always trying to find new ways of thinking. So yeah, it helped me a lot. You know, digital world now, you can't avoid it. You have to go through it and embrace it, basically.
Yeah, but I always say people say, I don't know anything. Well, you know something, or else you would be coaching, you know. And it's also the biggest win is sometimes not the result. It's actually the players. Let's say the player takes 5 touches of the ball, and then the next time they take 4. You know, that's a big win. But people don't see that as they think the game on the Saturday, the Sunday, you know, the result. And there is a result that every child, majority, want to win. But it's all about developing the mentality of long-term. You know, can we develop something that's long term? And that obviously comes down to mindset, you know, and different ways of thinking. How would you describe your mindset and the way you think? Are you quite open we've discussed that, but how would you see when things go wrong? That's when our minds start to wander, or they start to go, I'm not sure about this. How do you develop that kind of mindset of problem solving? And have you had any examples of that?
Can you say it again, the question, Luigi?
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, I'll go a bit slower. My Scottish accent doesn't help in any way. Mindset, you know, how you develop yourself. And sometimes when we have problems or we're not getting the right results, we start to make excuses or we struggle with information and which we know. What is your mindset? How would you describe your way of thinking? Is it very positive, or is it problem solving, or is it a bit of both?
I think it's both, because sometimes I'm always positive, that for sure, and I'm always trying to find solutions. Sometimes, you know, when something happens, I'm like, it will take me like 30 minutes, 1 hour to process the information and be like, okay, you know what, let's find a solution. It will be complicated, but I will find a solution. And after 1 hour, I'll be like, wait, you know what, breathe. Let's see what we can do on this situation, and let's create a plan, or let's find an alternative. So even with the players, you know, I'm always telling them, like, focus on the next wave. Like, it's like we are surfers, you know, we will do mistakes. Me, the first one, I'm always saying this to them, that I will be the first one to do mistakes, so don't worry. And we are like surfers, you know, like, we miss a wave, another one is coming a few seconds after, and another one. I'm telling them this. Or, for example, I'm taking, of course, always, like, this great show, Ted Lasso, about, like, being a goldfish. So that's my mantra. I will say that there is always another wave, action or something that will come to you, and you can do better than the one you just did. So I'm always positive, for sure. You have to. And, you know, I said before at the beginning of this podcast, like, to go outside of the comfort zone. That's what I do. You know, like, I went to the English side here with my broken English, trying to translate sometimes some stuff from the French to the English. And I'm like, what's going on? It doesn't make sense for them. So I'm always learning. I'm always trying to improve, you know, listening to your podcast, for example, even for the vocabulary or how they talk. It's a thing that you have to do constantly, you know, day after day, hour by hour. It's a work on you that you have to do every day. And like I say, like, the only thing I know is that I don't know anything. That's I think something that I really take personally every day.
Yeah, well, this has been great. About 30 minutes of knowledge I've actually flown by, but thanks again for joining me, and hopefully we can go have a part two on the actually I'd be interested in analysis part, you know, and how you develop this part. But no, thanks again for chatting to me.
No, thanks to you, Louis. It's great for the connection, and let me know what you need. We keep in touch for sure on Twitter and for WhatsApp, and let me know what you need exactly, and with pleasure we can connect soon.